Welcome to the 50 States Finish Line podcast, where we talk about running, road races, and all the ways that running enriches our lives. I'm Pam, and I've run races in 28 states and have completed 5 marathons. Thank you for tuning in. Have you ever considered running a race to fundraise for a special cause? In today's episode, we'll hear from our guest about one such program called Team in Training. Or what if the main criteria for signing up for a race is the course must be incredibly scenic? We'll touch on that too. And have you ever considered how yoga and strength training might fit into your running goals? You might after today's conversation. We've got a lot to cover, so let's get started. I am fortunate to have a good friend in the studio with me today. When I first met her, I learned she had climbed Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania, the highest mountain in Africa and the highest single freestanding mountain in the world. Thank you, Wikipedia. I didn't know that, and it's pretty incredible. I think we could do a whole show on that adventure. So welcome, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Do you want to tell our readers a little bit about yourself as a runner?
Sure, and I kind of fell into running, actually. You mentioned Kilimanjaro, and I was always a big hiker and skier and played sports. My degree is in exercise physiology, so I was involved in exercise classes and wellness and that sort of thing. But running was not, it was a part of fitness, but it wasn't something that I loved. And then my dad was diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia. So with that sort of news, I'm sure any family member is a little stunned, and then you feel like you want to do something. So I learned about Team in Training, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and said, well, I can run a marathon. That's something concrete that I can do. So that's how I got into running. And the teamwork, the training, the fun, the friendships, the camaraderie, and the shared victories and not failures, but, you know, when you feel defeated and you're just struggling, it was one of my best experiences ever. I made lifelong friends and continued to run. So it sort of was the start of running becoming something that I love and will continue to do, hopefully, for the rest of my life.
Oh, that sounds so great. I know I've been out on race courses and have seen the Team in Training, I think, jerseys. So, and I also wonder, like, do they provide, like, do you train, do you run together as a team? Like, are people located in the same area? Do you get together for training runs? Like, what is that experience, and what are the expectations around it, like, in terms of fundraising or preparation?
Yeah, so there is kind of a minimum to raise, depending on the race and the location and the expenses to it. I think probably $2,000 might be the minimum. You're assigned a coach.
Nice.
And this coach sets up group runs, usually weekly. You can participate in any or none. I found them just to be incredibly important to learn how, like, running 26.2 miles. I had no idea. Where do you start? How do you do that? And you just get the plan, and it's much easier to do the runs with somebody else helping you along. In fact, the work is all that training. I find by the time you get to the event of the run, it's so unique. There's people spectating, cheering you on. I don't have that when I'm out on my long run. There's aid stations. It's just exciting. It's a different route, and it's nerve-wracking at first, but you have all of the members that you've been training with the whole time. So it's just awesome. We made up little ditties, I don't know, but I've been told Portland streets are made of gold, things like that, just for when you've run out of conversation, you want to separate your body from the waist down, you want to ignore how that's feeling, and you still have multiple miles to go. I remember we also played the state capitals game along the way where, you know, what's the capital of Delaware? So it just spreads out the miles, right? Sometimes we were asking spectators because we just couldn't come up with the answers, but it just was a wonderful experience.
It really, really sounds like it. And obviously on so many levels, so meaningful to be able to help a cause that was important to your heart and to your family, and also to kind of connect into the running community. And again, I think that's so interesting because anyone would, I know I would assume, like someone who's done incredible hiking, running would be just such an easy thing to do. And I think maybe what you're expressing is, you know, whatever the task is, the way to get there is different, whether it's hiking Kilimanjaro or running 26.2. There's a different kind of training that might go into that. And being supported by others and supporting others is one way to get yourself to that finish line, whatever that finish line might be.
Absolutely. And, you know, I apply the same method for training and being successful at running a marathon with other parts of my life, which I never would have imagined. But when I have a big goal ahead of me, I break it down as if I were running a marathon. Okay, if this is where the end needs to be and I have this much time, in half that time, I need to be halfway. And then, you know, what do I need to do today and this week to inch my way up? It's almost cliche, but I use that whole method for a lot of life problems or work projects. It's really been very effective for me.
So it sounds like that team and training was a number of years ago, or that was your first introduction to kind of running longer distances. And obviously you stuck with it. You know, we've done other marathons together and have done half marathons together. So after you finished that first one, did you immediately start doing additional races, or did, you know, how did that relate to some of your other running? Did that really get you into it?
Not really, except that I moved shortly thereafter and was not near the club that I used to work out at all the time. My kids were little, you know, new neighborhood, new job. I had to figure out how to stay fit, and moved into a neighborhood fortunate enough where there were people that ran every day, you being one of them. And I said, okay, I can do this. I remember that you guys were training for Chicago. And I said, oh, I did a marathon. I don't need to do that. But I do want to get out and run with you every day. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just was so blessed to find all of you and, you know, lifelong friends. And it's just was such a blessing. But then when you said, oh, but it's a weekend away with the girls, and I'm like, oh, and all I have to do is run 26.2 miles? I am in. And, you know, of course, we had many races after that. It's just been phenomenal. It's not only my exercise, it's my therapy, it's my group support. It's all of those things that we need in life. And, you know, when you're busy working and kids are young and you're just very, very busy, you don't really have time to spend with friends. But when we can combine it with a workout, with a run at 6 o'clock in the morning, when there aren't a whole lot of other things that interfere with that, it worked and it was perfect.
Yep. It's so true. And it really, I think it was such serendipitous that we all kind of fell into it for different reasons and at different, relatively similar, but different points in our lives. And it just worked out really, really well. And looking back, you're right, us running at 6 in the morning and us, you know, sometimes 5 of us or 4 of us out there together kind of chatting away. I imagine some people who were in their house like, keep it down, because it surprises folks how much we can chat when we're out there on the road together. And thankfully, we had the roads to ourselves, not many commuters on our little back roads up to the Beehive, which is what we call kind of that 3 mile turnaround mark.
We are very blessed. And that's one of the other things that was so great about it, is getting out there into nature and just seeing the seasons come and go, like just being surprised with a beautiful sunset or sunrise, or seeing a hawk or an eagle, or and chatting the whole way. Now, I will say, in our training for long runs, there were times where we ran out of things to say. We after talking for hours and hours. It was pretty quiet on those last few miles home, but that's all part of it too.
I know those long. I don't miss those long runs. Someday we'll get back to it. But oh yeah, those were brutal, particularly because we were doing them like in August in advance of an October race. So the ramping up of the mileage was happening at the hottest time of the year.
Right. And at least we had each other to wallow in our pain and our blisters and all of the things that go with that. It's all worth it.
That's so true. That's so true. So it sounds like team and training was kind of the start of things, and you kept running. And it sounds like, you know, is there a half marathon that stands out particular to you? You know, I was saying something about kind of races being really scenic. Are there any races that stand out to you as you think about ones that you might recommend for folks, even though they might be hard to get into?
Absolutely. And when, you know, I thought you might ask me what's my favorite run, and I kind of initially thought, well, I have a favorite marathon and a favorite half marathon and a favorite trail run and a favorite adventure run. But I think one that is so memorable because it's so unique is the Covered Bridges half marathon in Queechy, Vermont. So many different things I can say about it. From it's run in June, but the registration is like some arbitrary Monday in December at like at 6 p.m. And it fills quickly. They only allow 2,000 runners because it's the roads are narrow and it's, you know, up in the hills of Vermont. So it's really difficult to get in. It fills up within 5 minutes and the website crashes. And so then you're calling your friends. Did I get in? Did you get in? And from that point on, you start at the.
Is it a field?
Well, no. You park at the polo fields in Queechy, Vermont, which who knows, there are polo fields, and that's where it ends. And then you're bussed up to this defunct ski area called Suicide Six, and then you run back to the polo fields. But along the way, there's always musicians at a half marathon. The ones at the Covered Bridges, there's everything. There's, you know, somebody out with a little jazz set. Kids with their boom boxes at the end of the driveway. I remember there being a barbershop quartet, and I swear these guys were 100 years old, and you could barely hear their voices, but they're out there just trying to belt it out. There was a guy with a cello. There was a guy who had an electric guitar and sort of his band in a box, like the little beat box. So it sounds like there's a whole band there, and it's just him. And it was a dirt section of the road. He's on one side singing Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road. Why would you pick that song? And then it was beside a river, and there's a grandfather with a toddler, and they're out swimming in the river. And I just kind of thought, this is
Vermont.
Amazing. It was quintessential Vermont. Beautiful rolling hills, quaint houses. There was, at one point, there was sort of this tiered hill, horses on this, beautiful horses. And they're seeing all these people run by, and they love to run. And so you could see them getting excited, like I'm sure 2,000 people don't run by very often. So just to see that. And then the other thing that I noticed, the spectators. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have dogs. All of the spectators looked like their dog. Like there would be a woman with long blonde hair, and she had an Afghan hound. And this stout, sort of grumpy, gruff-looking guy with a cigar that has a bulldog. And I just, every time I pass spectators, I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God. It just fit the bill, and I just cracked up. And then when you end, you're parked in where there's this Vermont Country store that has Cabot cheese. Like, it's the Cabot store.
Oh, okay.
And so they have free samples. So I think I ate my body weight in samples and had to buy a number of things. And you can tell by now, I haven't mentioned running once. Like, that was not the highlight at all. There were so many things to distract me and so many things that are so unique and memorable and fun about that race that it has become my favorite just because it's so fun.
Yeah.
And crazy. Almost cultish.
And you didn't even mention the Covered Bridges, which I don't remember how many are on that course.
One or two right in Woodstock, I think. Yeah. Yes, it's called Covered Bridges, and there aren't them, but it is very scenic. You go right through downtown Woodstock, so it's gorgeous. I highly recommend it if you can get in. It's wonderful.
Right, I know. There are races, either they have a lottery, I think New York City has a lottery, I don't know if it still does, to get in, or these races that are so popular that you pretty much have to have your computer set up to hit the submit button at whatever, 601. And I certainly feel for people out in other parts, you know, they're either a 50-stater coming from California and need Vermont, and so we're trying to get into that race. But, it is hard for these races that have odd times to kind of get into them. And I don't know, I don't know of other races that are as popular. I'm sure they're out there, but certainly the Covered Bridges is probably one of the most popular races if you can get in.
Right.
For sure.
Maybe if you run with a charity, you have a better chance. I don't know that because I didn't. So that's a possibility.
Yeah. And we didn't talk about that kind of charity bibs. you know, obviously team in training is relatively kind of like a charity bib where you're raising a certain amount of money and you're being supported by that organization. But I believe like Make-A-Wish probably has them as well. And sometimes they even have amenities at the finish line, like a separate tent. And again, might kind of do some good outreach early on. So I think those charities are a wonderful way to both help a cause and be able to participate in a race. I think one of our previous guests mentioned that's how she was able to run Boston a couple of times. So many great ways to kind of connect running to other parts of our lives. How about adventure racing? Any kind of adventure racing come to mind when you think about different experiences?
Well, you mentioned that I hiked before, and I always have hiked. So why I never thought of trail running and connecting the hiking and the running part, it took me forever. But finally, that was an epiphany. That's been wonderful. So, yes, I love the adventure races, too. There's a couple that are favorites of mine, ironically, in Vermont. there used to be one at Jay Peak called the Jay Challenge, and I don't think that still happens. I'm not sure, but you basically run up the mountain, down the mountain, through the river. You know, the marathon is maybe, the half marathon, I think, is maybe 22 miles and the full is 36, something crazy. It's
still
it's
a really
wild
long distance.
It's fun. But the other one that is amazing is the Vermont 50. So I think that's at Ascutney, and it started out as a mountain bike race, but then there's so many runners that wanted to do it. And you can do it either as a 50K, a 50-mile, or a 50-mile relay. So I've done the relay a couple times, so you have three runners. And, again, quintessential Vermont. It's gorgeous. One of the things that I remember about that was a life lesson for me is I had the middle leg. So I have to be out there at a certain point and wait for my first runner teammate to come, and then I can go. So while I'm standing there, you're seeing people go by. And I saw this man go by, and his gait was really strange. It was as if one leg was, you know, a good 6 inches shorter than the other. He was really kind of lurching from side to side. And so I thought, okay, if he can do it, I can do it. And didn't give it much more thought than that. And then my teammate came in, and off I started, and I eventually caught up to this guy. I could see him ahead of me, and I caught up to him, and I started chatting with him. And he, I believe, he's from Montana, from far away anyway. And he said he just travels and does these. And he was doing the full 50 miles.
Oh, my goodness.
Which made me kind of go, okay, I can do my 20 miles if he's doing this, running like that. So it's all about perspective, you know. If you think you can, you can. And if you think you can't, you can't. But really, I think one of the things that helped me get through my first marathon, I'm so nervous. I've done all the training, but you know, it's right before race day, especially first one. And somewhere I saw this little message. It might've been Reader's Digest, which tells you how, I don't even think that's still in print, but tells you how long ago it was. And it said something like, don't be daunted by the challenge. Yes, the physical part is one component, but don't underestimate the power of mental stamina and enthusiasm and attitude, because that's going to carry you through. And it's so true. You know, I have often thought of that saying, and it gets me through a lot of hard things.
Yeah, it's so, you're so right. And I think when you're out on the road or out on the trail, you have time to really think about what that saying means. You know, it's not just you're looking at it and moving on, but when you're by yourself in the woods or on the road, you really have time to kind of explore that question more in depth. So that is a really helpful idea to kind of consider as individuals are thinking about longer runs and being able to manage it. Right now, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to the 50 States podcast. We'll be right back. You are listening to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. Welcome back. Carolyn, you were talking about some races, and I would love to hear a little bit more about how running has enriched your life. You were talking about how you apply it to so many different things.
Oh my gosh, where do I start? I learned early on that I am one of those people, and there's a term for it that I am amiss that I don't remember, but my cognitive abilities are improved when I'm moving. So I kind of learned that, for instance, if I'm struggling with a problem, a decision, something like that, and I go out for a run, it becomes so clear to me how to fix this, almost to the point where I'm like, how did I not think of this before? So, and there is a term for it. I'm not a total freak, but I just know I feel better when I work out. And when I get really grumpy and cranky, my family will say, did you go for a run today? So it becomes very obvious. So I know that I need to work out all the time. I have found as I age, I do need to do a little cross training. You can't just do one thing all the time, especially something that's, you know, it's a little hard on your body when you're not built like a gazelle, and I'm not. So you need to mix it up a little bit to give the joints a break. But it has, I'm a mediocre runner at best. My goal is to just never be last. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And I admire those people that are coming in at the very end. But I just don't want to either have people have to come out looking for me or, you know, let them go home at a reasonable hour, the race directors. But I think it's the getting out there and doing it, the challenge every day, and the fact that when I do that, the person that I become kind of stays with me forever, right? Like, it's not the destination, it's the journey. And just the fact that you get out there and do it when you don't want to, when you're just not motivated, when you're in a little pain, when you don't have time, all of those things, and you just get out there and do it, and I'm never sorry when I finish. It's usually always feels good when you stop. I will say that every day. But I'm always grateful when I do it.
Yep. I think that's so well said, and such an important reminder that for as long as we've been running, we still have things to learn, and the benefits continue on. I know for me, one of the things that I remember, I did a really long run and I came back home and I remember cutting the lawn, and I thought, I can't believe I just ran whatever, 18 or 20 miles, and I'm cutting the lawn now. But it was a reminder like how fitness extends into other parts of our lives, and that how we measure fitness changes over time. And well, originally I would have been like, oh, if I can just do 18. And yes, in some of those early times, right, we'd come home and collapse and we'd text each other and say, I think I got dehydrated. And then we just got smarter in our running and we realized like not only could we run that, but then we could go off and continue on with our day. So that like continuous improvement is a really important part of it, and how it also enhances our lives in so many ways. And you know, I think there's so much to gain from that. You know, I think you're someone, when I think about our running group, who really brought the idea of cross training, both from your previous work as a fitness instructor, and then also kind of moving into yoga and taking care of our bodies more so than I think anyone else in the group. And so I guess I just wonder about that a little bit, the strength training and the yoga, and how you feel like those have complemented your running and how you have fit those in.
Well, you know, I think a lot of runners are guilty. I mean, it takes so much time to run marathons and to train for marathons and fit in hill work and speed work and all of that. So we tend to not do a lot of strength training, but our bodies do need that. And any strength training that we do enhances our running. And the same thing with flexibility. It all works together in our body to make us better at all of those things. But we're all limited with time, right? So you do what you kind of know you have to do, and the rest often falls by the wayside. But strength training is critical. And I used to poo-poo yoga because I got to be sweating and breathing heavy if I'm doing anything worthwhile, right? And then I kind of, I think I got into it a little bit when Either I had an injury and then I was just feeling like I have no flexibility. I keep going home after a run and doing, you know, like 30 seconds of the same stretches and everything else just is ignored. And I've grown to love yoga for the way it makes me feel. I feel taller. My spine feels better. My muscles feel better. And that allows me to do more strength training, which all fits into enhancing my running. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, there's so many different things that people can do that you can fit those components in without having to go to the gym or without having to go to a yoga class. You can do all that. It's just mixing it up and giving your body what it needs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you've been really successful at that and are certainly a role model to other runners, me particularly, around incorporating those other pieces. So that's been really great. Every time I have guests in the studio, I kind of like to ask a few questions, kind of like, I guess you'd call it the rapid fire round. Do you have a favorite running shoe?
I had the, I think, New Balance Hurricane for years and years and years. And most recently, switched to Brooks Ghost.
Oh, nice.
Again, not being a gazelle, I need the extra cushioning. So you find the one that fits and you just... A little plug for Runner's Alley because they're so good at, you know, they put the shoes out there that might work and you put it on and it's like Cinderella's slipper, right? It's like, oh, this is the one. And when you find it, you can't go without it. So, yeah, that's the current one.
that sounds great. How about tech? Any kind of a tech gear, a vest, a light, something that gets you out there?
So probably my most worn piece is a bright pink vest because it's good for visibility. It's lightweight and it's not sleeves, so I can wear it all the time, throw it over heavier stuff or not. It's good when it's hunting season.
Yes.
You want to be dressed for that. So I probably wear that one piece more than anything else. And I also have a pair of gloves that have lights that are tucked into a little pocket on the back of the hands, right? So I can't do a headlamp. That's just not comfortable for me. And I see some people put lights on their shoes or whatever. These just work for me. It just lights up the right place. My hands, when I run, apparently are in the right place for these lights. So for those really early dark mornings, I wouldn't be without those. Those are critical.
Those sound, I think I've seen you in both. And yes, I think that bright pink vest is awesome, particularly as you mentioned, we're into hunting season, and given we live in a rural area, that's so important. How about a race on your someday list? Is there a race somewhere that you want to go to that you haven't had a chance to do?
I grew up in Keene, and Clarence DeMar Marathon is there. Mm-hmm. He was one of the first Boston Marathon winners. So I thought it would be fun to run in my hometown and maybe my parents would come out and see it because I don't think they quite get why we go out and run that far when we can just get in the car. So that's probably one that, and it's, you know, quintessential New Hampshire, right? Just, and it's in the end of September. So that's probably one. If I did a marathon again, I would do that one.
Nice. Oh, they don't have a half. It's just a marathon. Darn it, I don't like when races do that. Is there something you say to yourself when the going gets tough?
Oh boy, there's a lot of things, especially on the long races. One thing that I often say, if I want to stop, is it'll be over sooner if I keep running, right? If I stop and walk, it's just going to take longer to end this, so keep going. You know, it's that whole mental attitude, I think, that I try to remind myself when the going gets tough. You know, there's no guarantee that you would be successful with a positive attitude, but there's almost a certainty that you won't be successful with a bad attitude. Mm-hmm. So I just try to remind myself of that, and that I really am grateful, so grateful to be able to be out there doing it. I hit a milestone at 60, more than a year ago, and that was a big honking number for me. And I just kind of said, you know, I've been very active my whole life and you know, knock on wood, because not everybody is. So I'm trying to take care of my body and be grateful and appreciate all of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've learned right science is showing that showing gratitude or being grateful is part of that healthy mindset. So I think that's awesome that you kind of incorporate that into your life. And certainly, you know, it's not easy continuing to run, but my hope is that, you know, part of these conversations motivates individuals to just keep at it, and that we all kind of come at it with different experiences and different ways of staying motivated. So I'm so grateful for you sharing your knowledge and wisdom today. So thank you so much for joining me. I'm so lucky to have you as a good friend in my life, and I'm just so grateful for all of our runs and races and venting sessions we had together. Thank you for tuning in to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. You can find episodes on all podcast platforms. Until next time, I hope you feel energized about planning your next race. Thank you, Carolyn, for joining me.
Thank you very much. This was great. And happy miles to all.
Yep. Happy running. Thank you.